personal word, please, before I preach. It would be hard for me to tell you how grateful I am for this church. For all of the years of my ministry in Orlando, every summer we would come to Montreat, and I would sit at the feet of the great Calvin Thielman and have my own life in Christ renewed and recharged in ways that I cannot describe. And then, to continue that glorious tradition with Richard White, a man whose passion for Christ knows no bounds. I cannot tell you how honored I am to stand in this pulpit, made holy by the extraordinary witness of these two great servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish to read for you these verses from Romans chapter 8. This is the word of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless to us the reading and the hearing of this portion of his holy word. Pray with me, please. Give me Jesus, Lord. Give me Jesus. You can have all the rest. Just give me Jesus. Amen. From my great friend, the late Dr. John Calvin Reed, I learned about the noted Pittsburgh astronomer who wrote his own epitaph. His name was John Brashear, and the words he wrote now grace his gravestone. He wrote, I have loved the stars too fondly to ever be fearful of the night. What a beautiful thought. I have loved the stars too fondly to ever be fearful of the night. As I've allowed those words to percolate in my mind and heart, certainly I am aware that those words are an apt expression of the life experience of John Brashear. However, it occurs to me that those very words might just as well be an apt expression for the life experience of the great apostle Paul. Remember, please, Paul did not always live in the sunlight. Not every day for Paul was filled with the brightness of success and victory. Paul knew times of trouble and trial. Paul knew days of despair and depression. Paul knew the nighttime experiences of life. Paul knew what it was to run slap into the darkness of pain and suffering and difficulty. Add to that the fact that for most of his adult life, he had poured down upon him, in addition, in his everyday experience, the hard, harsh blade of suffering. He called it his thorn in the flesh. We do not know precisely what it was, but what we do know is it hurt like the mischief. And we also know that sometimes it put a restraining brake on the carrying out of his ministry. Oh, yes, Paul knew the dark nighttime experiences of life. But even in the darkness, Paul discovered two stars shining brightly. The stars of God's presence and God's power. And to be perfectly frank, Paul loved those two stars too fondly to ever be fearful of the night. Night, you see, is when the stars shine. Here in the latter portion of Romans 8, we see so clearly, I believe that the words Paul wrote flowed directly out of his own personal experience. Here we see this truth weighed out carefully. For here in this passage, a passage I dearly love, Paul delivers to us two great affirmations of faith. And it is my intent today to try to carve those affirmations of faith so deeply into your consciousness that we shall never, ever forget them. Affirmation number one, Paul declares that when we encounter the nighttime experiences of pain or suffering or difficulty in life, the star of God's presence shines brightly. In other words, when the night is dark, God is with us. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. There it is. The message is that when we run into those tough times in life, there is sent to us directly from heaven nothing less than the presence of the Lord himself. That means that the presence of the Lord in us and with us is never more embracing, never more encompassing, never more encouraging, never more empowering than in those moments in life when we feel most weak. Paul says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Oh, yes. When the night is dark, God is with us. I saw that so clearly in the pain and suffering of my friend Ruth Ross. Miss Ruth. Ha! That's what I always called her. Miss Ruth Ross. She was a member of one of the churches I served in Kilgore, Texas. She was, I tell you honestly, as radiant and powerful a Christian as I have ever known in my life. Several years back, Miss Ruth was stricken with cancer. It was a particularly virulent form of cancer. It started in her throat, her mouth, her tongue, her lips, spread rapidly from there. It was a particularly painful form of cancer. Her pain would only grow more intense until her death, not terribly long thereafter. When the diagnosis was made, she was taken to the MD Anderson Cancer Institute in Houston. I happened to be on my way back home to Orlando from a speaking engagement on the West Coast, and I arranged for a layover that I might visit Miss Ruth. When I entered the room, I can't show you a photograph of the room. All I can do is to try to paint the picture in words. In that room, there was light and life and love and laughter. Yes, great, rolling, roaring, rollicking laughter. That's always the way it was wherever Miss Ruth Ross was. When you stepped into her presence, you had to check your depression at the door. We had a great visit together that day, both of us knowing full well we'd never see one another again this side of glory. We talked about her faith and our friendship, about her courage and our Christ, and we laughed. We laughed a lot. When it came time for me to leave, I got up, leaned down over the bed, kissed her on the forehead, and I said, "Miss Ruth, I love you. I just wish I could take some of this pain away from you." She looked up at me and she smiled. It must have been an agony. She smiled and she said, "Oh, preacher, I know you love me, but I haven't got a single pain to spare." She said, "In my life, I've known joy and I've known pain, and I've never yet seen the pain that could kill that joy. Ooh. I've never forgotten that." And I've never forgotten something else she said to me that day. I don't know if the words were hers or if they were words that she'd read or heard somewhere else. I don't know, and I don't care. Because the words came straight from her heart, and as far as I'm concerned, the words are hers. She said, "I would rather walk with the Lord in the dark than with anyone else in the light." I want you to tuck those words away in your heart for safekeeping. I would rather walk with the Lord in the dark than with anyone else in the light. And to help us remember those words and never forget them, I'm going to ask you right now to say those words right out loud with me. Say them together. I would rather walk with the Lord in the dark than with anyone else in the light. Yes. Miss Ruth understood what Paul understood, that when we encounter the darkness of pain or suffering or difficulty in life, the star of God's presence shines brightly. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. When the night is dark, God is with us. That's a part of what I mean when I say night is when the stars shine. Affirmation number two. Paul declares that when we encounter the darkness of pain or suffering or difficulty in life, the star of God's power shines so brightly. In other words, when the night is dark, we are with God. Catch that, please. Not only is God with us, but we are with God. Put it in spatial terms, not only does God come down to be with us, but the Spirit lifts us up to be with God. Romans 8, 38, 39. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing in life. Nothing in death. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of our God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, let's be honest enough to admit that when it comes to the dark times in life, Christians are just like everybody else. Yes, just like everybody else. Christians are not exempt from hurt or hardship or heartbreak or heartache. Christians are not exempt from disease or despair or danger or death. Christians go bankrupt. Christians get divorced. Christians have automobile accidents. Christians rush to emergency rooms. Christians are placed in intensive care units. Christians are just like everybody else when it comes to the nighttime experiences of life. There is only one thing which makes Christians different. It is this. We as Christians know that nothing, nothing in life, nothing in death can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. That's what makes Christians different. That's what sets Christians apart. That's what gives Christians a courage other people do not seem to possess. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. We are with God. I saw that so clearly in the pain and suffering of my friend Kim Lee Shin. Trisha and I first met Kim Lee Shin at the Wilson Leprosy Center in Suncheon, Korea. The Wilson Leprosy Center is one of our great Presbyterian mission hospitals. It's built down on the southernmost coast of Korea on a peninsula jutting out into the South China Sea. That is where we met Kim Lee Shin. I was preaching there. At that time, I was preaching all over South Korea in celebration of the 100th anniversary of Presbyterian mission work in that country. And I preached at the Wilson Leprosy Center. And it was an unforgettable experience. Kim Lee Shin. I don't quite know how to describe him, but at least I must try. He had no fingers. He had no toes. He had no ears, no eyes, no nose, no lips. All his facial features were gone. Nothing left except a smile. Dear God, nothing left except a smile. Back then, every afternoon, Kim Lee Shin would lead 14 other blind lepers down to a little structure called Scripture House. Not much of a place. Four walls, a roof, cushions on the floor. And there every afternoon, those 15 blind lepers, between 2 and 6 in the afternoon, they would play the harmonica. Think about that. No fingers, no lips. They would play the harmonica. And oh, their playing was so beautiful. They prayed. They prayed for their sisters and brothers in Christ all over the world. And their prayers were filled with such power. They sang. They sang the gospel songs our Presbyterian missionaries had brought to them through the years. And their singing was exquisitely beautiful. And they memorized scripture. Yes. They memorized scripture. When Trish and I were there, they had memorized the entire New Testament and were one-third the way through the Old Testament. Kim Lee Shin turned to me and he said, pick a chapter, any chapter from the New Testament. We'll recite it for you. Off the top of my head, I said, Mark chapter 7. Kim Lee Shin turned to the other 14 blind lepers and in Korean said, Mark 7. 1, 2, 3. And in one voice, word for word, in perfect unison, they recited the entire 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Trisha and I stood there with tears streaming down our faces because we knew in that moment, in as dark a situation as you could ever imagine, we knew that those 15 blind lepers had lifted us into the power of God, perhaps as never before. What I learned from Kim Lee Shin is this. Nothing can come to us through pain which does not bring with it the promise of gain. I want you to tuck those words away in your heart for safekeeping. Nothing can come to us through pain which does not bring with it the promise of gain. And to help us remember that so we'll never forget the words, I want you to say those words with me right out loud now. Nothing can come to us through pain which does not bring with it the promise of gain. Yes! Kim Lee Shin knew what Paul knew, that when the dark times come, the star of God's power shines brightly. Nothing, nothing in life, nothing in death, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. When it is dark, we are with God. That's a part of what I mean when I say night is when the stars shine. Will you now carve just a little space out of your heart and make room for the story behind one of our greatest hymns? This hymn was written by a man named Henry Francis Light. His name is spelled L-Y-T-E. While his name was Light, his life was filled with darkness. He was orphaned at a very early age, grew up poor, suffered ill health all of his life. He battled constantly against the ravages of both asthma and tuberculosis at a point in time where medical science had no help and no cure for either one. in spite of his physical conditions, he fulfilled his great dream in life, and that was to become a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. After he was ordained, he accepted the call to a little church in a little town down on the southern coast of England, the little town of Brixham. By the way, if you ever travel to England, make a little detour and visit that little town of Brixham. He served that church for the remaining 23 years of his life. It was a little church in a little town, tough church, really tough, because the people there were tough people. They were mainly fishermen and seafaring people, tough people. But Henry Francis Light loved those people, and they loved him in return. He poured himself, in spite of his physical challenges, into the ministry of that church, accomplished some amazing things. I could cite several. Let me give you just one example. Within several years, Henry Francis Light had a Sunday school in that church that numbered 700 children. A little church in a little town, 700 children in Sunday school. People brought their children from all over that region to learn about Jesus. By the way, it was Henry Francis Light who coined the phrase, "In life, it's better to wear out than to rust out." And wear out he did. There came the point where his physical health required him to resign his pulpit. On September the 4th, 1847, he preached from the pulpit his final sermon to the people he so dearly loved. The record states that he had to be physically carried up into the pulpit. The record states that several times during the sermon his voice quavered. But the record also states that the sermon was oh so strong. The act of preaching left him so spent that he spent the rest of that Sunday afternoon in his bed at his house. By the way, if you ever visit in Brixham, you can go to his house. You could actually stay there if you want to. It's become a bed and breakfast. As the twilight hours began to approach, he got up from his bed and walked down to the harbor in Brixham. Sat down, looked out over the water. The water looked like molten gold in the setting sun. And suddenly, everything that had happened to him that day overwhelmed him. And he broke down and he began to cry. But somehow, in the midst of his tears and the darkness, the Spirit put some words into his mind and into his heart. And those words began to roll around. So he got up and he went back to his house, to his study. And he sat down at his desk. And as the darkness fell on this, the darkest day of his life, he formed those words into lines. Lines which perfectly capture the great affirmations of Romans 8. Lines filled with incredible light, L-Y-T-E. Lines filled with incredible light, L-I-G-H-T. Within 3 weeks, Henry Francis Light was gone. But his words live on. Oh, his words live on. In one of the most beautiful hymns of them all. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Now, do you understand what I mean when I say night is when the stars shine? Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. Amen and amen.